Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. It's such a beautiful day.
It is such a beautiful day. And we are so lucky to have this old house for a radio station because we actually have opening windows in the air room.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
It is.
So today we are talking about blueberries because it is the 18th of April and we are deep into spring. Woohoo!
We are, actually.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. So in 2007, 2008, my husband and I lived in a farmhouse out on 202, the old Henningsen farm. June Henningsen passed away in 2007, and it's a century farm. You know, it's been there longer than a year. And an interesting thing about the place is they have blueberry bushes out there that they planted in 1955.
Wow.
And I don't know why. I just thought they were so much bigger. They're almost like little blueberry trees. I mean, they're so much bigger than I'm used to blueberry bushes being. That I started reading about blueberries on the internet, even though that makes me sound like an insufferable geek. But they weren't even domesticated. No, is that the word?
Yeah.
Or propagated. I knew it ended in ed. until 1934. That's the first time blueberries that they were able to propagate them successfully. And you know how people are so crazy for those wild blueberries that grow out in the East Coast?
Yeah.
That's because they can't propagate them. They only grow wild. So blueberries are pretty wonderful.
They are pretty wonderful, and one of the most wonderful things is that there are enough varieties that we get blueberries for a really long part of the year.
Do you know, because I was wondering, thinking about blueberries, and I have no idea, which makes me a bad radio person, but you know how there's so many different varieties? Like you know how there's so many different varieties of blackberries and they taste so different? Do the different varieties of blueberries taste different? Do you know?
Well, you know, I'm my palate is not sophisticated enough to really perceive a difference. I perceive a difference in size and in tone of color. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are almost black and some of them are really lighter lavendery blue. But I don't know. They're just all good. And I eat a lot of the blueberries I eat. I just eat as berries. I don't, you know, I don't necessarily cook with all of them. So I don't know that... I'm sure somebody who grows berries would be able to say, oh my gosh, these are the perfect ones.
Yeah, like Hood strawberries.
Right.
I remember the name of the strawberries. I couldn't remember last year. It's Shuksan, S-H-U-K-S-A-N.
Oh, so that we were talking about last week or last
Here's
time.
Some information 2 weeks later.
Well, that's what happens when you're only on the show twice a month. So we're talking about blueberries and what you and I like to do with blueberries. And I want to let everybody know at the top of the show that all of the things we talk about today are available as recipes at the North Coast Food Web website. That's northcoastfoodweballoneword.org. Recipes are up and available for your viewing and cooking pleasure. So,
and they're good recipes. I made your rhubarb cake last week and it's good.
It is good.
Yeah. And I like how much rhubarb you put in it.
And I want to let everybody know too, because we had people responding to the rhubarb show that you had just extemporaneously said that you had a great rhubarb upside down cake, but we didn't know that ahead of time. So it wasn't on the website, but it is now.
Yeah. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Okay, let's talk about blueberries.
Yeah, let's do. Go ahead. You go first.
Okay, so just like I like rhubarb and strawberries, and that is kind of a cliche, but a delicious one, I love blueberries and lemon. I just think that is the perfect marriage. I just think they're so delicious. So I put a recipe on the website for this old-timey thing called posset, P-O-S-S-E-T. And it's Renaissance. They used to drink it, but it's something that if you cook, it's very simple. And if you cook it a little longer, it turns into an eggless custard. So it's a custard that you can serve vegetarians who eat dairy, but not eggs, which is how I got associated with it. But you just boil some cream and some sugar and some lemon zest for 8, 10, 12 minutes, depending on how big a batch you're making. And then you strain the, let it cool a bit, strain the lemon zest out, put some lemon juice in there. And it just turns into a very like pot de creme type texture, really delicious lemon dessert. And that is so good with blueberries, fresh blueberries, and then blueberry compote, which is just, you know, boiled blueberries and sugar and butter and a little lemon, just to the butter makes it kind of satiny and just a little bit different than jam.
Yeah. So good on ice cream too.
Yes. Or your hand.
Or yogurt. Or your hot cereal or anything. Yeah, right. You know, we probably should remind folks who might not have discovered this on their own, that if you're going to do the posset, it has to be cream, because otherwise it's going to break when you boil it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's just, if you try to do it with milk of any, even whole milk,
yeah,
even half and half.
Yeah, don't be going all rogue dairy-wise.
No. You gotta use cream. So anything that asks you with a cream to boil, you know that you can't cheat. You got to actually use cream. So you asked me if I had a blueberry scone recipe, and I did. I have a scone recipe that I really love that is great with any berry.
Yeah, I know,
but
you make good scones.
Hard to beat with fresh blueberries, really hard to beat. But it is a drop scone recipe. It's not the kind that you roll the dough and then cut it into wedges, which actually takes more skill to come out with a scone that is tender and beautiful and not like a doorstop. So
brickish.
Yes. And I love those kind when somebody else makes them and they're good, but mine tend to be like little anvils. So I like the drop scones, which are just the scone batter that you scoop out and put on a greased cookie sheet, or you can, you know, like get a handful and like roughly form it into a ball and put it on there. So it comes out looking more like a drop scone. I know I'm not sure anything else really looks like that, but it expands a little bit and you can split them and toast them just like the others. Kind of scone.
I'm making
so
them
good
tonight.
Ooh. And that recipe without the fruit in it makes a really good shortcake for berry season.
Oh, really?
So you could make that scone recipe that's on the website and then just split it and layer it with macerated berries and top it with and whipped cream.
See, that's a really good idea, because I always just make biscuits and put sugar on top, but that's a way better idea.
Well, I like the biscuit ones too.
Yeah.
I just tend to like the shortcakes that have a little something to them.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
they're not.
No, that's a better idea.
I don't like the sponge cake as much because it gets gushy. And I just like the texture more. So anyway, that recipe is on there, but you could put any kind of fruit in there, or you could put dried fruit in there, or you could put no fruit in there and then use it the way you want and split it and toast it and put jam on it in the morning.
Num.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Central Bakery. There's a bunch of them up in Portland, but they have those jammers. Do you remember them? They're kind of between a biscuit and a scone, and they put a big thumbprint in the middle, and then they put jam in there. And so I put a recipe up there for those. It's straight out of their cookbook, and it is exactly like they are in the bakery. And those are good. You can make them. They're good, of course, with blueberry jam. You can make them with any jam. But that's just sort of like a scone biscuit with the jam baked right in. And those are kind of good.
Those are kind of good.
they're pretty. They can be really like showy, you know, or at least something that I would make for company. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just a little showier.
Yep.
And then there's a way that Joanne Chang, she has some bakeries out east, I think in Massachusetts, called Flower, that she makes blueberry pie that I really like. And what she does, and I'm just focusing on the pie filling. You can use any crust you want. But what she does is first she takes some sugar and cornstarch and blueberries and I think some lemon, and she boils those up so that she gets them thick and goopy. And then she mixes in a bunch of fresh berries. So I think the ratio is 2 cups of berries that she makes the goop out of, and then 6 cups of fresh berries. And she mixes that together and puts that in the pie. So she's not just putting fresh blueberries in the pie. So it's more concentrated blueberry flavor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah, and it's just like an extra little thing that makes the blueberry pie better, you know, more blueberry-y.
Yeah.
And then she uses a lot of lemon, and you know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Makes me wonder about blueberry lemonade. I've never tried it, but I don't know why not. They make strawberry lemonade. Wouldn't it be good?
I don't know, because the strawberries bleed so much. I suppose you'd have to macerate it, but it seems like it would be delicious because the two flavors
are so good.
Blueberries with lemon better than I like strawberries with lemon.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Maybe it's just because it's ugly. I mean, I imagine it would look like mud, and then the strawberry lemonade is so pretty.
Yeah.
Strawberry lemonade really just tastes like strawberry.
Yeah, I know. It does.
But it totally does. Maybe that's why. But no, now I'm going to try it. No.
You know, I was thinking about your blueberry compote on lemon sorbet. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to lose any weight this week.
Not like all those other weeks.
I got to make Marianne's cake. I got to make Marianne's scones. Have you ever been to a bakery and you see the blueberry muffins and they have like that white crusty top?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know why it took me 55 years to find a recipe for that, but I put a recipe up for that. Just a muffin, blueberry muffin recipe that's good with the streusel, but you can use the streusel on any recipe you have. But it's like a, I think it's equal parts white sugar, so it's a streusel, but it's just not a brown sugar streusel. Equal parts, I think it's almond flour, white sugar, and butter, I think. Oh, I'm making stuff up now. But it's just the almond flour with the white sugar that makes that powdery thing. And I like blueberry muffins that have that crusty top on them. I think it's pretty, and I think it tastes good.
Yeah, and it's always the part I eat first.
Yeah, and it's something that you just, you know, it looks professional.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. I put that up there. But that's something that I really like.
You had asked me to put up a blueberry custard pie.
That's the main reason that I agreed to do this radio show, so I could maybe get the recipe for that.
You
I bought one at a charity thing for $100, and I do not regret it.
I like custard pie so much. Oh. Actually, I that's a recipe that I adapted out of a Nick Malieri's, one of his baking books. And it is essentially, with a few tweaks, it's banana cream pie with blueberries instead of bananas.
Oh.
And you take out some of the things and put in a couple other things. But, I mean, the custard is the same. But it is a uniquely lovely combination, that
it's
custard
delicious.
With blueberries. And you could do it if you're not interested in making pie crust, or you don't want to take the time, or for whatever reason, you could do that and put them in pretty dishes and have that topped with a little whipped cream as a dessert just by itself. The filling is so...
Just blueberry custard.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. Absolutely so good. And it's got lemon zest in it.
Do you put anything? Is there? I can't remember because I ate it so fast I wasn't looking. Did you have like a little glaze on top? I can't remember.
Uh-uh.
Nope. Okay.
Uh-uh. I didn't. But what happens is that the blueberries tend, a certain number of the blueberries, you make the custard and the crust, and you put the it's a single crust pie, and you put the dough in the bottom of the pie pan and put all the blueberries in, and then pour the custard on top, and as it bakes, the blueberries tend to float to the top, so you see them in the custard. You know, there's no top crust.
Yeah,
it's kind of pretty, but it's also just begging for whipped cream. Pleading for whipped cream.
But thank you for putting that on there. I'm so excited to have that recipe. I'm so excited to make that. It's so good.
Oh, yum. What can we do with blueberries that is savory?
Oh, there's so many things that people do, and I am just not good at it. The main thing that I do is I put them in salads. So where I would use pears or blueberries in a salad with some blue cheese, that's what I do. And then I will typically put some fruit in the dressing too.
Uh-huh.
But what about you? I mean, I am not good at the fruit. I mean, I'm sure it'd be good with pork. I'm just not good at that.
Well, they make a pretty spiffy chutney type thing. I'm thinking that even the posset would be good in that way. But I've also had a blueberry, like a demi-glace,
mm-hmm.
that's made with some stock, some meat stock. Demi-glace, I guess, is traditionally veal stock, but doesn't have to be. I've had a blueberry glaze before served to me on salmon, and it was a really good combination because it was lemony blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that any blueberry sauce that isn't sugary, real sugary, would be good. And I'm wondering, I've never tried this, but you know how great balsamic is with strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you it's great with blueberries too. it might be a good way to macerate them.
I'd seen that salmon blueberry on a menu, and that's such a good way to explain it, that there's lemon with the fish and lemon is good with blueberries, because it just, then the combination didn't stick in my brain as the first thing I would choose, and I would always choose something else.
Well, you know what, I'm sort of a purist about good salmon too. It's like, please don't mess with it. I don't want a lot of sauce on it. I want to make a little butter, some lemon, maybe a little dill. That's it. Don't, you know,
take it out to the grill and scare it and bring it back in.
That's right. That's all we want. Just scare it enough to be tender. I want to remind everybody that you are listening to Food Talk, which is a production of North Coast Food Web and Coast Community Radio. Coast Community Radio being KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with Linda Perkins. We're talking about blueberries, and we want to remind you that you can find all the recipes that we talk about anytime on Food Talk at northcoastfoodweb.org. Right now, the recipe section is under the tab Resources, but very soon, as soon as our fabulous cooking class coordinator, Wendy D'Agostino, comes home from vacation, because she is our entire IT department, there will be a separate recipe button on the homepage, and you won't have to look.
Yay!
Yay!
I put a recipe for blueberry popovers on there, too. So, you know what a popover looks like. These aren't made in a popover pan. I make them, this recipe, I make in like a big muffin pan, like the Texas-size muffins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where there's just six in the big pan. They have those pans out at Fred Meyer's. I'm sure they have them other places, too. I like making them in a nonstick pan just because a popover is something that wants with all its heart to stick, no matter what you do. But I would describe them like a Dutch baby.
Oh.
So they're kind of sweet, and they have fruit, and I like making them in the Texas muffin pans instead of like in a big skillet like you would a Dutch baby, just because the fruit, you know how it makes that part that the fruit is in not raised, the bottom, you just have more of the fluffy, you know, really good popover sides when you make it, you know, in the, the Texas muffin pan, rather than a whole bunch of batter that's flattened by fruit like if you made it in a skillet. But those are good. They're just good by themselves. They're good with a little syrup for breakfast. They're good.
Ooh. They sound so good. I love popovers. And I don't have a popover pan.
Yeah, you don't have to have one.
I am not welcoming in my kitchen to anything that only does one trick.
Oh, the unitaskers. I think Elton Brown talks about that all the time.
Really?
He says the only unitasker he will have in his kitchen, the thing that does one thing, is a fire extinguisher. That's the only thing. And that's good. You know?
I do have one of those.
Yeah.
And at the Food Web, we have many of those.
Yeah. I love oven gloves. You know, those Kevlar gloves. I love them because, you know, the oven, the stove, grilling, whatever I'm doing, it saves my hand. And then when we lived out at that farmhouse, we were using June stuff, and I had pot holders, which I had not had for at least a decade, right? And so I would my oven gloves, I have a drawer right by the stove, and the oven gloves go in there, or they're on my hands. That's just how it is. I don't have a lot of counter space, and so big, you know, Mickey Mouse mittens, I don't have room for them. But out there, because I wasn't organized. And I think that there's three or four times in 6 months that I just set a pot holder down on a burner when I was done with it and set it on fire.
Well, sad. I know that you had to leave that farmhouse because of a tragedy, but it wasn't because you burned the house down with your pot holders. What happened?
No, we got there because of a tragedy.
Because
we lost our house in that storm of 2007, and we left because we were so desperate to find a place before it was haying season, and we were actual farmers. So we did get out in the spring, and that sounds awful. But June Henningsen, she passed away in her 90s. She was the matriarch of the family and the last one on the farm. But it turns out that when you pass away, your livestock does not.
So
the whole farm, you know, the fields were all planted, the cattle were still there, they were still having babies, there were chickens, there was one lumpy goat, and so we inherited all of that. That was kind of funny.
So you were feeding livestock.
Yeah, it turns out that I'm not a farmer. At least level-headedness and even keelness I didn't have, I'd be like, the chickens are out, the cows are out, you know.
Well,
I didn't take things in stride.
I don't actually have to have had the experience to know that I don't want to have the experience. So you're ahead of me on that. You're at least willing to try. Oh, I just want it to show up in my refrigerator and then I'll cook it.
Yes. Only gathering, no hunting.
No, that's right. I'll clean the clam, but you need to bring it to me. I'm not going to dig it. Oh, man. I do love clams, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like fishing isn't going so great. I could be wrong, but I just don't know anybody that's catching much of anything. But boy, there's clams up to our ears.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. What else can we say about blueberries? Because this is their moment to shine, you know, and
next time
it'll be something else we're talking about, which makes me want to remind everybody that if there is a type of food or a type of cooking or some particular subject about cooking at home for the people we love that you would like to have us talk about, all you need to do is let us know. And you can do that either by calling North Coast Food Web at 503-468-0921, or you can go to northcoastfoodweb.org, and that way you can either find the phone number or hit the email to us and let us know, because we would love to be able to speak to what interests you.
Do you fry your clams?
I like the clams just like fried, like you would do the salmon, where you just barely, you know, I'm just doing the really traditional old, like, egg washed saltine cracker crumbs,
mm-hmm.
butter.
Yeah.
And flip them quick before they know they've in a really hot pan so that they get a little golden, but get there so fast.
Okay. Like, are you talking 15 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute? What do you think?
I'm talking probably 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay. 30 seconds aside or 15 aside?
No, aside.
30 seconds aside. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds...
Maybe not even that quite that much. I guess I've never timed it, but the pan is screaming hot, so,
okay.
And you're doing them in butter.
Okay.
So with a little bit of oil to hopefully not make ultra brown butter. And then
we call that burnt at my house.
Yeah, and it smells like it too. It's funny how butter goes from being that perfect brown mm-hmm. butter flavor to being worthless in a heartbeat. Yeah, so it's just really fast. And when I say screaming hot, I'm actually meaning about medium high, not as high as the burner will go, just because of the butter.
It would evaporate.
Yeah, exactly. It smokes first.
Out of the pan, yeah.
It makes you real sad. Sorry you did it.
I think, so my friend Karen was talking about, I think it's Linda Kaiser, who makes a batter, but she uses like the coldest possible ice water. And
uh-huh.
that worked really good. I did that once, her method. And, just instead of just the, you know, the egg and flour, using
uh-huh.
that Pride of the Northwest or whatever that batter is. And that was good. It seemed like they were, I don't know what the cold water did, but it did something. It just made them more tender.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if it protected them from my violent cooking or what, but it was better.
I know people that use panko instead mm-hmm. that type of breadcrumb instead of cracker crumbs or flour, and there's a million ways to do it. But I think just for me, it is getting them done as fast as possible and not too done. But I also use razor clams chopped up, really minced in chowder.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, really, I love razor clams and eggs.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, yum!
What
breakfast.
Do you do?
Just for breakfast, you know, it's your breakfast meat.
So you just fry them like you normally do, and mm-hmm. then, okay, no, I never
have
even thought of
that.
Have
them with eggs and toast. Yipes.
Okay. Huh.
Kind of miss Andrew and Steve's. You could get them that way at Andrew and Steve's.
Yeah.
We all miss them. Well, listen, before we run out of time, which we are dangerously close to doing, I want to remind everybody that coming up at 1 minute after the top of the hour is NPR News Headlines, and then John Stevenson is in the house to bring us Lost Highways, which is a really good reason to celebrate Monday morning every week. But you had something that you wanted to talk to people about. What is it, Linda?
I have homework for you.
Ooh.
Okay, I have a good friend who shall remain nameless, but she might be named after a state in the southern United States. Anyway, she a while ago got a ticket going down the dump road. Now, if there's something that when you are in your 70s you really don't want to do is like being stopped and ticketed for speeding.
Well, if you're going to get ticketed, I think that speeding at least gives you bragging rights.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, so we all know that it is hard to go 25 on the dump road. So yes. She wrote herself a little song, and she sings it to herself every time she goes lead-footing down the dump road. And it's just like she did it to 99 bottles of beer in the road, and it's something like, you know, I got to go 25 on the road. I got to go 25. If I go faster than 25, I'm going to get a ticket, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, you know what? It's spring. We all need kitchen songs. So your homework is to write a kitchen song. And that sounds hard, but it's not. What you got to do is get yourself some other song and then write some different words to it. So I'm going to show you a kitchen song. Here we go. Where is all the flour ground in the flour mill? Where is all the flour ground rising as dough? Where is all the flour ground baked in pastries, everyone? We hope that they never burn. We hope that they never burn. Now, I am not saying that I am an artist by any means, but you need to have a kitchen song. And so your homework is to write one and to put it on the voice mail at the Food Web. And that phone number is, Marianne,
503-468-0921. And if you do not remember that, and there's no reason you should, and I don't even remember it, I had to look it up and write it down, just go to northcoastfoodweb.org and you will find the phone number there under Contact Us, and you will call and leave that message on the answering machine, and we will share your fabulous song in programs to come. I love this idea.
Kitchen songs.
All right. I'm going to get busy. I'll get busy. I love that.
Me and Marianne, we're going to go on tour. Yep. We're putting the band back together, and we're gonna call ourselves Creedence Clarified Butter Revival.
I'm going to be a tour of diners across the nation. Yes. I'm liking it already.
They'll pay us not to sing. Here, we'll give you our best hamburger.
We'll work for food.
Yes.
I want to remind you of a couple things coming up at North Coast Food Web, cooking class-wise. You can find the whole calendar at the website, but just a heads up that the fabulous Joe Dare from Blue Scorcher Bakery is going to be doing a 3-class series on bread baking.
Listen, he is a genius.
He is a genius, and he's going to share his genius with a very small number of us. This class, our classes top out at 10 because everybody cooks, and that's how many workstations we can comfortably set up. So you must go to the website and register immediately if you want to. When I was getting this information, I see that there's only 5 slots left. But just so you know, but Baking with Joe starts May 5th and runs every once a week for 3 weeks. It's from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. And also coming up is a new class by Angela Sidlow on, I'm trying to think, what do you, you know, kombucha and all that good stuff that you do.
Vinegars, kind of fermented.
Yeah, maybe it's a fermentation class. Angela is so renowned in this community for health, healthy living, and all the things that go with it. Go to the website and check. It's coming up. It's a one-off class on the 21st of May, and as her classes always do, they fill up in just a heartbeat. So those are the 2 classes coming up. And
is that like shrubs, that kind of thing?
I'm very bad. I went on the website and looked this up, and all I did was write down the date and not the name of the class. you needn't be sorry. Allow me, because I'm the one who didn't write down all the information. But generally, what we need to say about that is Angela Sidlow and May 21st. So what are we going to talk about next time?
I don't know. Maybe strawberries. It's that kind of time of year, kind of.
I know. It's getting to be.
We're getting kind of fruit heavy. Well, we just did one fruit. I don't know. I kind of want to talk about strawberries.
Maybe we'll talk about strawberries unless you all get in touch with us and tell us to talk about something else. We'll maybe get busy and concentrate on strawberries because, boy, there's a lot to say about that.